Hi everyone, I'm Tisha and welcome to 99% Effective. Hi George.
Hey, Tisha, how are you?
I'm great. It's so good to be with you again. So I am super excited today because as many of you know that have been following along with our sibling series this summer, this is our fourth episode. And today we have something really special planned for everyone. George, do you want to explain a little more?
Yeah, so like Tisha said, today is going to be our fourth episode, and today we are really excited because we have a special group with us today who have decided that they want to really give you their real life experiences and what it's like to grow up with a disability and to grow up as a sibling of someone with a disability. So we're super excited to be joined by Emily Hall, who you remember from our first episode, who's the director of the Sibling Support Project. She has agreed to be our moderator for this really exciting panel. So we really can't wait to get into that and hear what they have to say.
Thank you all so much, first of all, for volunteering your time to come and share a little bit about your sibling experiences. It's so nice to meet you. Kelly and Erin, nice to meet you. You guys have very similar glasses. Did you plan that?
No.
Well, it's so nice to meet you. And Laura and Jack, so nice to meet you. And Allison and Melissa, so great to meet you. As George said, I'm Emily Hall, and I work at an organization called the Sibling Support Project right outside of Seattle, Washington. And we are an organization that's dedicated entirely to supporting brothers and sisters of people with special developmental and health and mental health concerns. One of our goals is to raise awareness about siblings and the important role that we play in our families and in our communities. By the way, I'm also a sibling. I have an older brother, Peter. He's 2 years older than I am. He has an intellectual disability. I wish he was here. Seeing all you guys together, I wish he was here with me. And one of the, I think, most powerful ways to really understand more about siblings is to hear directly from the real experts, which is all of you. And I'm so excited that you're participating as pairs of siblings. I love doing these panels when we can hear from both siblings. So thank you all for dedicating the time to being with us today. People often say they learn a lot from our panels, and panelists often say they learn a lot from each other. And so I certainly look forward to learning from all of you today. I'd love to get started by asking each of you to just briefly introduce yourself. So your name, where you live, what you do during the day, and let's say one thing that you like to do for fun. Can we start with Kelly and Erin?
Okay, thank you. My name is Kelly Falvey, and I live in Branford, Connecticut. I spend my work days as an educator. I work with high school students. I prepare future teachers, student teachers, if you will, and I also work in adult education. And let's pick an interest that we have that we like to share together. I love traveling, especially with Erin. Thank you.
So nice. And we haven't been able to travel the past year, right? So you guys must be missing that. Are you excited to return to travel soon?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm very excited.
Awesome, Erin. So Erin, tell us about yourself. Your name is Erin, obviously. Yes. Where do you live? What do you do during the day?
I'm from North Branford, Connecticut. And I go to work at Sarah Inc. in North Haven. So I go do that every day, except for Thursdays. And what do we like to do for fun, Kelly?
What do you like to do?
Oh, I like word searches.
Oh, word searches. Nice.
Yes.
So do you have books with word searches, or you do that in the newspaper?
Yeah,
who reads a newspaper anymore, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Erin and Kelly. How about Laura and Jack? Would you like to introduce yourselves next? So
sure.
Where you live, what you do during the day, and one thing that you like to do for fun.
So I'm Laura. I live in Waterford, Connecticut, and I am an enrichment program manager for Sarah Inc. And something I like to do for fun, I like to go for runs.
Nice. Thank you.
I'm Jack. I live in Rutland, Massachusetts. I'm actually going day to day to a program just like Sarah, with multiple individuals with disabilities. And I like to go to Maine in the summer.
Oh, lovely. What part of Maine do you like to go to, Jack?
We go to Wells.
Yep.
Nice.
We go to Wells every year.
So nice. Maine is beautiful. And you guys are together today. You're on the same screen. So unless you have some really super fancy camera set up, are you in Connecticut or Massachusetts right now?
We are in Massachusetts. I drove up to be with Jack for this.
Oh, so nice. And hopefully you'll turn it into a fun weekend together too. And so last but not least, Allison and Melissa.
Yes, I'm Allison Whitney. I live in Madison, Connecticut. I am actually a manager for Sarah Kids Have Birth to Three program, and I'm also a direct developmental therapist. Something I like to do, so we actually also go to Maine every summer. We've been doing it for 20-something years at this point. We go to Ogunquit. I think that's a really special place for our family to go. We have a lot of very close friends now that we've formed really nice relationships with. So that's somewhere that we like to go, and we like to spend a lot of time at the beach in general. Do you want to tell them who you are?
My name is Melissa. I live in Beaufort. I have a dog named Finley, so 9 years old. My birthday's in May, and it's in May 29th. I'm going to Vegas for my birthday and my birthday dinner.
Well, happy birthday.
I like the puzzles. I got a laptop back home. I like Cape Cod. I have pool.
Cape Cod
is beautiful.
A boat.
We do have a boat. Yeah, we have two.
Yeah.
On Bay Lake and Cape Cod.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we have to make a deal among this group that the next time we do this, we have to do it in person, either in Maine or on Cape Cod. Is everyone agreeable to that? Okay. I'm like, sign me up. Okay. Thank you all for introducing yourselves. The next thing, I would love to ask you the question. This is kind of one of our favorite questions. When we think about the disability, right? So for Aaron, Jack, and Melissa, when you think about your diagnosis, and for Kelly, Laura, and Allison, when you think about your brother or sister's diagnosis, how did you all learn about that disability or diagnosis or different ability? Like, how did you guys learn about that maybe name for what you have, or how did you come to understand that in your family? Did you talk about disability? Did you use the word disability? Did you say different ability? How did you first, when you were maybe younger, how did you make sense of that?
I don't mind jumping in. I thought a lot about this question, actually, and I have a memory of when I was younger walking down the street with a neighbor, and she had brought up a question, what is the diagnosis? And at that time, Melissa was just starting to get really involved with Special Olympics, and so we already had an established community. So I was able to bring that back to my mom and talk more about it. And she kind of just gave, I think I was like 7 or 8 at the time, so she really gave just kind of general information, but it really was more of just that she learns differently. And that made a lot of sense to me at the time.
Yeah. So it sounds like your parents explained it in language that was really appropriate for where you were at developmentally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to answer that question?
I also have 2 memories of this. So shout out to the Birth to Three programs, because I can remember Aaron receiving services in the house and outside of the house. And I think that all of that support at such a young age is why Aaron is the wonderful person that she is today. And so having someone in the house and having them interact with us as siblings, because I am 6 years older than Aaron, so I was able to help and be a part of that. I just recall that being a fond memory. And then I also have a sadder memory of us, you know, we never put labels on anyone, and we weren't allowed to use certain terminology in our household. And I remember Aaron coming home from grade school at one point very upset because someone had called her something. And I just remember that was the first time that we acknowledged that the way our culture and our community and our household worked was different than the way other people were going to interact with Aaron. And I was just so happy that we were in an environment where we weren't going to look at someone with one label, and we were going to acknowledge all of our complexities. Do you have anything you want to add, Aaron, about this?
That's a good question. Well, I just want people to know that, you know, we're still people. We still have feelings. I don't really know much really about what people really think of me. I mean, I don't really know. But all I know is that maybe I could try to help them out maybe a little more, and, you know, have them to try to be a little bit respectful, you know, when they meet somebody that they don't know about, or you know, want to learn more about me or something like that. So yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kelly and Erin. And Erin, you point out something that's so important, that we really are in such a powerful position to educate other people about all of our differences. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes I think if people don't really understand what's going on, that can lead to uncomfortable situations, or maybe someone saying the wrong thing and maybe not even meaning to, maybe not knowing what to say. And educating people about our different abilities is so, so important. I have a really good friend who has disabilities and he's a self-advocate. And he said once, well, what other people think of me is none of my business. And I thought, wow, that's a really great way to put it. And it reminds me so much of what you just said, Erin. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Laura or Jack, do you want to respond to this one?
So for me, I think early on, the indicator for me was that Jack didn't go to the same preschool that my sister and I went to. He went to a preschool that was better suited for him. And he also received early intervention. So we had people providing services here at our house. It wasn't until much later that our parents kind of explained what his disability was. But even then, you know, it wasn't to treat Jack differently. It was just to help him in his day-to-day life.
I really didn't know until probably my older age. Most people around me just think I'm just this typical kid and nothing's wrong, when in reality there is something wrong and no one really knows. So
yeah, and it's interesting, Jack, that you use the words something's wrong and they just don't know, right? Like, and that people think that you're a typical, you know, a typical guy. And yeah, like, because for even typical people, whoever they are, like, there's stuff goes wrong all the time for all of us, right? So just thinking about it in that way, it's hard, I think, sometimes for people to understand who we are and what we're all about in general. And sometimes, like Erin said, sometimes people just need a little help understanding. Thank you all for answering that. You know, that sharing information is such an important idea for not only people with disabilities, but also siblings. And, you know, we just talked about that in our other podcasts. And so thank you for sharing your own experiences with that. I want to now sort of challenge you guys to think back to maybe growing up. Think about maybe some obstacles or challenges that you had growing up because of the disability or the diagnosis. Like, can you guys think back to when you were younger, what challenges came up that you can think back and say, you know, think that that was because of the disability?
I know a couple of like things that went on when I was younger. I never had like my brother. I have a brother named Jack. He's older. So Kelly's the oldest and he's the second oldest, and then I'm the baby of the family. But I remember though begging my mom to let me use her car one time, because I really just wanted to go out and do things, and I was just stuck at home because I didn't know how to drive a car. Nobody didn't show me how to drive a car, and I would want to go here or there or everywhere, and mom was like, no, you can't. And I think that was like the hardest thing, not giving your driver's license, because I'm more of a want to do things instead of just staying home and not doing anything.
And I can follow up with that, Erin. I think the challenge for me and probably Erin has been that sometimes the way I'll describe it is our relationship is I'm Erin's best friend, except she didn't get to pick me. And we're very different people. We don't even like to do some of the same things. But when it comes down to it, because of the limitations of transportation and sometimes isolation just from, you know, how Erin's life is going compared to mine and the freedoms that I have, it just, you know, as much as I love that she's my best friend, I want Erin to have opportunities that are social in other ways without me. But Erin, a lot of times I think a challenge is she usually has to have someone there or coordinate with a family member in a way that's different than I know my, let's say, teenage years were, and especially getting into 20s and 30s.
Yeah, thank you both. Both of the things that you said really point to the same thing about independence. So Erin wanting to drive a car and be mobile and just get up and go, right? I mean, who doesn't want that?
Like, another one is that I know like half of my grade already is married and have kids. Like, I want to get married and have kids too. One day, hopefully one day. But I know that right now it's not a good idea, but maybe in the future. I just don't know. But that's one other thing too.
Absolutely. It can be really hard, especially during a global pandemic, right? To think about dating, and can be hard in general to meet that right partner for you, Erin, you know, that right person for you. Thank you for sharing that. And Kelly, talking about the challenges of being on the other side of that and being the sibling who does have that freedom and that independence and feeling maybe guilty about that, and that, you know, it's really not fair sometimes. And it sounds like you have found things that you do like to do together, like travel. Maybe that's why you like to travel together. Maybe that kind of scratches that itch for you. So thank you. Who else would like to answer this one? Thinking back, some challenges. And I think it's so important for people to hear some of the challenges to really understand the full experience for people with disabilities and siblings.
I can share some challenges. However, I didn't really see them as a challenge at the time, because I think being a younger sibling, I just was born into this, and this was just how life was for me. Melissa and I, growing up, our parents, they are now retired nurses, but, you know, my mom worked the night shift to be home with Melissa and myself during the day, and then my dad left very early in the morning and came home very late. So a lot of the responsibility fell on me at a very early age. I mean, I really can't remember how young I was, but I was the one responsible for getting Melissa on the van or the bus in the morning. I was responsible to be home with her in the evening if my dad had get called in, and if my mom was sleeping or something. And certainly, I'm sure, I think Melissa enjoyed it, but you know, from a social perspective for myself and for Melissa, you know, I'm sure that there was more that we would have liked to do, but we just couldn't, just because of some limitations there. But, you know, a lot of the responsibility fell on myself at a very young age. So I think that was a little bit of a challenge. Again, I really didn't mind it. It was just normal for me, and it made us so strong, and I really wouldn't take any of it back.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Allison. You know, you point out that sort of the flip side of that independence is sometimes that extra responsibility, right? That those things are really related. And Melissa, do you want to add anything to that? What was that like for you when Allison was helping you get to the bus in the morning? Do you remember that?
Do you remember when I used to go on the bus with you to school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I graduated.
She graduated. Yeah, so Melissa did her post-grad. Do you remember when I would help you get on the bus to go to school in the morning when mom and dad were working?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like that, Melissa? Was that nice to have Allison with you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And Laura and Jack, do you have anything to add about this one?
Yeah, so similar to what Kelly and Allison said, some of that responsibility of kind of taking care of Jack, making sure usually I was helping him when he got off the bus, and then kind of chauffeuring him around to doctor's appointments and various sporting events he wanted to go see at the high school that occasionally fell on our older sister Emily and I, but I never really minded. Got to spend some quality time with him. So what did you think about that time?
I can't remember.
You don't remember?
I was younger.
It wasn't memorable.
It's really memorable for you, Jack.
Wow.
Younger years, I can't remember.
Jack, thinking back, are there any other challenges that you can remember that stick out for you that you would like to share?
Really, most of them really just fell when I was in high school, really.
Yeah, high school was rough for Jack.
Yeah. The challenge for my mother was when I first started coming out of EI, the school that I was in didn't provide speech services. So my mother, like every single time we didn't even have my meeting yet, and school pretty much pushed it out and didn't tell my mom anything that they didn't have speech services, they didn't have a teacher to do it, until basically, my mother walked in before I went to school that morning and was like, "What's up with speech?" And the school was like, "We honestly don't have anything." So my mom was like, "Well, then I'm just going to sign this paper off and send it to the DOE and see what they can do."
Yeah, so Jack was very, very difficult to understand when he was younger. We actually learned a lot of like baby sign language to communicate with him. And as he got into preschool and kindergarten, the school said that they were going to set up speech pathology, and then they didn't have a speech pathologist available to do so. Our mom is a speech pathologist, so she was very quick to make sure that that was fixed.
That comes in handy, right?
Very much so.
And Jack, what was that like for you to see your mom advocating for you? Do you remember? I mean, I know you were really young. And by the way, you would never know now that you had this big speech issue younger. So you did a lot of hard work, I'm sure, to work on that. So that's great. But do you remember what that was like to see your mom advocating for you and how that felt?
Younger years, I never could understand anything. So I never really took ownership of it until high school. Like Laura said, high school was rough. All the years I was there was rough. Like my first 4 years were fine. And then once I got into my post-grad program, it got rougher.
Mom and Dad advocated a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
And for the record, I think high school is rough for most of us. So I feel you, Jack. And so your mom advocated a lot for you in high school. And do you remember how that felt? Like, did it feel really good to have her fighting for you?
I mean, it just goes to show how much a parent, like, feels for the child. It just basically shows the child that the parent understands them the most and wants what's best for them.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Jack. So I want to flip the switch now. And instead of challenges, let's think about some silver linings, some good stuff, some opportunities that you know came your way because of the disability. So because either, whether it was your diagnosis or disability or your siblings, you know, what good things have come to you guys as people, as siblings, because of your unique situation?
Go ahead, Laura.
For me, I got to meet a bunch of people in Special Olympics and all of the programs that Jack was a part of. I got involved in several of them. And then we also went as a family to a conference for Prader-Willi syndrome, which is Jack's diagnosis. And so we actually, it was up in upstate New York. So we got to go see Niagara Falls and all of that together. So that was pretty cool. And you got to go to Texas for one of them.
Yep.
Emily and I didn't go to that one.
Very cool. Jack, for you, what kind of those conferences, it sounds like, were pretty cool.
Yeah, so my parents would go to like a sit-down conference, and
you got to go have fun.
Yeah, I got to go have fun.
You met other people like
we see who got the short end of that stick, Jack. Okay. Great. Thank you guys. And who else would like to answer that one? Some good things. Things that you wouldn't trade for anything.
I can go if you want. I think at a really early age, I knew I wanted to be a special education teacher. I knew that that was my passion. I mean, like I said, we've been involved with Sarah with Special Olympics for so long at this point. I think we've both established really strong relationships with people. Melissa has some of her best friends, right, from Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. And at the program, right, you have a lot of friends there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now I'm, like I said, I always wanted to be a special education teacher, but I never knew I wanted to do birth to three. And certainly this all happened for a reason, you know, and I'm in this field so passionately, and I have a different perspective, I think, than most of my colleagues. And I think that's something, you know, really special.
Absolutely. You bring a real authenticity to your work because you can relate so much to the families you support. Vocation is one of the big pluses for many of the siblings we talk with. Many siblings, and the research supports this, many siblings find their way into helping fields. So welcome. Welcome to being that statistic. You're a very good company. But truly, it is wonderful that we siblings do bring our hearts and souls to our work because of our experiences with our families. So that's great. And I love the fact, Allison, that you talk about this community that you found And Laura, you and Jack talked about this as well. You know, going to these conferences, being part of Special Olympics, one of the major, major highlights, I think, for so many of us is that we find this community of our peeps, right? Of people who not only can relate so much to our experiences, but who genuinely empathize with and care about each other, which is pretty, pretty amazing. Kelly and Erin, do you have any silver linings that you'd like to share?
I agree. I think that this is all silver linings. It was difficult to think of the challenges, actually. As Allison said, it's just our normal. And one of the opportunities I'd have to say is just awareness and patience. I'm always digging deeper to find out what does someone need in this situation. And it's just a lack of judgment, because my sister may ask for something in a different way, but she still has a need that we're trying to meet. And so every person I interact with outside of even my family, I'm always trying to think, what does this person need right now? And how can I help them communicate whatever that need is? And I just think that Erin is the one who has given me that gift of awareness and patience and non-judgment. Mm-hmm. Any opportunities for you, Erin?
Well, I know that I used to be addicted to all kinds of sports, and my brother was a captain of the football team back in North Brantford. So I had every chance to get in, well, not for free, but all the time, but sometimes I would get in for free because of my brother.
But nice.
I think that sometimes, though, people just need to be patient. They should not just judge right then and there. They don't know who I am, and just see the good side of me instead of, oh, she can't do this because this or that. Just want
for people sure. to
be patient and not.
Thank you so much, Erin. And I love that you talk about, first of all, the perks. Okay, there are sometimes perks. Let's just admit it. There are perks that come along because of our roles as siblings. The getting into those games for free. Okay, good brother to have, captain of the football team. And some of you have talked about being able to go to cool conferences. I think being able to do cool things like this podcast, so amazing. We're only here because we're siblings, right? And gosh, Kelly, if more of the world could adapt that outlook and that perspective to try to understand where every other person is coming from and to think about what does this person need? What is underneath the behavior? If more of us could have that patience and tolerance and lack of judgment, what an amazing world we would live in. Thank you all for sharing that. Okay, this is my favorite question that I get to ask you guys. And you're all smiling, so you know it's coming. If you could trade places with your sibling for one day, just one day, what would you do? And I'm hoping that every single one of you answers this question. Who would like to start? Who's been thinking about this one? And they, oh, I see Erin raising her hand there.
Yeah,
I cannot wait to hear.
Well, I would take my sister's car, definitely, and go driving around. And then for my brother, I wish I could spend more time with him, because my brother lives a little bit close by, but not too far.
Well, why, you had said earlier, why would you trade places with your brother?
Oh, because of my nephew. Yes.
So first of all, Erin, if I was a betting person, I would have put money on the fact that you would have said that you would have taken your sister's car, right? I was just waiting for it. Wait for it. Bam. Okay, thank you for sharing that. And then tell us about your nephew. How old is your nephew?
He is 2 years old. His name is Levi. And he's really, really cute.
Oh, so cute. Has he reached the terrible twos yet, or is he still sweet?
He's still a little bit sweet, but sometimes he can be very quiet. And doesn't want you to bother him, but that's just him.
He's testing out his independence, right? We'll just wait till he's 3 and 4. It gets worse, but in a cute way. So thank you for sharing. And then Kelly, if you could trade places with Erin for a day, what would you do?
Well, I would definitely go, and I know this is a podcast, but get my nails done, as Erin has beautiful nails.
Oh, yes. For you viewers or listeners who cannot see, Erin does in fact have beautiful nails.
Thank you.
So I'd go get my nails done. But on a more serious note, I would like to just be Erin for a day to see what it's like to have so much empathy, because Erin really feels what other people are feeling.
I love that. That's beautiful. Thank you. Who else would like to go? Allison or Laura?
Yeah. If I could be Melissa's, what would I do? So Melissa has a lot of interests, and I think I would just like to experience all of her interests through her eyes. I mean, I have my ideas of like what she really likes about them, but you know, she really, as George knows, she's a very happy person all the time, and she really loves everything about life. So I think just experiencing what she likes to do on a daily basis would be really interesting.
Yeah. And do you think that might involve Finley, the dog?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
I feel like a little Finley.
He's a little boy. It's this little baby Yorkie that is like a little football, but she just adores him.
I have a feeling if you're Melissa for a day, it's not happening without Finley. So.
Exactly.
Melissa, how about you? If you could trade places with your sister, if you could be Allison for one day, what would you do?
I will so crazy.
You want to play with Grace?
And I feed Nene.
And feed Nene. I have a 4-month-old at home and a 4-year-old at home. And you would want to play with them all day? Yeah, and feed Mabel her bottles?
Oh, my Nene. I can't change her diaper.
And you will not change her diaper? Oh, well, that's not helpful.
Disgusting. Melissa, I feel like that could be arranged. That could be a dream that could come true very soon. That's great. I love that you would spend more time with your nieces. And, you know, probably you would be very tired at the end of that day, Melissa. You'd be happy to go back to Finley.
We're tired.
Yeah, right.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. And last but not least, Laura and Jack, if you could trade places for one day. I'm so curious, especially since you live in different states.
So if I trade places with Jack, I know... Just in general, I would love to kind of see how Jack sees the world, but I also know I would want to go to his day program and get all of the ideas that they're using over there and then steal them. But I would probably get in trouble because I'd want to jump around to all of the groups and see what they're all doing instead of staying just Jack's group.
Nice. And stealing them for a very good purpose, right? To help others, yes. That's like, yes, that's totally acceptable. And Jack, if you could be Laura for one day, what would you do?
I think I would actually be the same.
You come to my program?
Yeah.
You're in charge if you go there.
Oh, right. Actually, scratch
that.
I think if I traded places with Laura, I would go to her beach house.
I don't have a beach house, but Jack has wanted me to have a beach house since he was in middle school.
Yep.
I want to trade places with you.
Someday, he decided that someday in the future, I will have a beach house and he will be there with me.
Well, you know what? Dreams do come true. And so, Jack, it sounds like when you guys are together, sounds like you're the boss a little bit. It sounds like you maybe wouldn't necessarily want to trade places because you feel like you're in a pretty good place right now.
Oh, yeah. He has a good.
And until she gets the beach house. And then you know what? I'm all in too. Then I want to be Laura too. When we do this next time, we will do this at your beach house. Does that sound good, Laura? Awesome. Okay. You're all invited. I'm inviting everyone on behalf of Laura and Jack. Thank you guys for sharing. Next question. When you think about lessons learned, right, from your experiences growing up, what is one thing that you think your parents did really well in meeting your needs and the needs of your sibling? This is for all siblings here. The one thing your parents did really well, and Jack, you've already talked about some of the ways that your mom advocated. And what is one thing that you wish they did differently? Notice I did not say better. We love parents. We appreciate your parents. But what is one thing that you think maybe they could have done differently? Who wants to kick that one off? Laura, do you want to kick that one off?
Yeah, we can start. So our parents are great. Like I said, my mom is a speech pathologist. My dad is a teacher. So they are very familiar with all of this that is involved. They advocated for Jack a lot, and they always kept my sister and I involved in what he was doing and made sure that we understood it. I think the only thing I would say I wish they had done differently was maybe talk about Jack's disability a little bit more. We didn't talk about it a lot as kids, so it wasn't until we got older that we really had a true understanding of it.
Anything you want? Thank you. Jack, what about
you? Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said before, like high school was very hard. Like the school didn't really have an understanding of my needs. So like my parents kept thinking, like, was this a good spot? They kept, like, going back and forth between that. And luckily, we stuck with it, but they just had to keep fighting day to day with meetings and such.
But it all worked
out. Yeah, so they were, like, super advocates. And then is there something you wish they did differently, Jack, growing up?
I don't know. Well, actually, I think one thing they could have done better is maybe, like Laura said, to maybe explain to me a little more about what my own disability was. Because it took me probably until I was in high school to try and, like, get my feet under me and kind of get an understanding of what it really was.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that perspective, Jack. I feel like in our world, we talk so much around disability, and we have these professional fields with so many acronyms, and we talk kind of around not only disability, but around the person a lot of the time. And so it's so interesting to hear that perspective that, you know, I wish that my parents were just more maybe direct or more straightforward and forthcoming with me about what was going on. Because all of us, every day, we're trying to figure out what's going on with us, right? How am I today? Who am I today? What are my challenges today? Am I able to handle this situation? Do I have the skills and the techniques that I need to be able to handle this situation, whatever it is? I think that's for anyone of any ability. We're always trying to figure out who we are and kind of what we're made of and how we're going to be able to move through the world. And so when you do have a diagnosis, it can be super helpful to have that information about yourself to help you understand not only what your challenges might be, but what your strengths are, and build on those strengths to help out with the challenges. So thanks for sharing that. Who else would like to share some lessons learned? I think who do we have left to hear from? Okay, Kelly, let's see what you guys, one thing that your parents did really well and one thing you wish they maybe did differently.
I think I'm gonna include my grandparents in this also. So grandparents, father, mother, and stepfather, and everybody else who raised us, they accepted us for who we are. And we're not trying to force certain expectations of what they thought our future should be. And that, I believe, is why, and I include myself in this, but why Erin is a confident, comfortable person in who she is, because you were allowed to be who you wanted to be. And that was so accepted. I think the self-advocacy that Erin has learned from that has been wonderful, but it only goes to a certain extent. And I think something that I wish all of our parents and grandparents had done is to help Erin see herself in stages of independence and work together to kind of make that happen, because I don't think that should be one person's responsibility. I think that's impossible, but I think that's a piece of it, is trying to see into the future what this person's life will be like maybe every decade, and trying to put forth a plan even though we can't control everything.
For sure. And we just had a conversation about this, about the importance of planning for the future and ensuring that it is an ongoing, flexible, fluid process. It's not like, okay, we did it. We sat down as a family and, like, we planned for the future. We're ready, because the future honestly happens every tomorrow, you know, and things change, and we have to be responsive to that. So thank you for pointing that out. So, so important. And what about you, Erin? What lessons do you want to share? What do you think your parents did really well? And what's one thing you think they maybe could have done differently?
Well, I know that my mom and dad tried really hard trying to figure out what my disability was. And that they gave me, you know, like some kind of like set down talks. Like I would come home from school and be like, what does this mean? Or is this like, does this affect me in the right way? Or should I not even worry about it? And, you know, it was good, though, that I did have my brother around, because a lot of times I would go to him and be like, hey, what's going on? What does this mean? Or something like that. So, yeah. And for, like, my mom and dad, I know that they tried their best. But, you know, it's more of, like my choices of who I feel like I'm going to be, and, like, whoever, you know, I feel like being. So I think that's what they know of.
It sounds like they've really always honored that and respected that and nurtured your individuality, which is so awesome. And the fact that you guys are so open as a family and talking, that's such a gift just to be able to have those conversations. And Kelly, is there something looking back that you wish that maybe your parents did differently?
Erin, is there, did you?
I'm sorry, Erin, yes.
Oh, no, I thought they tried their hardest on telling me what's going on and everything, and they did their best. I don't nothing to change about it. I mean,
great. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
And last but not least, Allison and Melissa.
The question was, what did they do well?
Yeah, so one thing you think your parents did really well to meet your needs and Melissa's needs, and then one thing you think maybe they could have done differently.
So like I mentioned before, we, Melissa and I growing up were, there was never me alone and just her. It was always us together. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that. And I think that just made us closer. And my parents were really supportive of, you know, my needs and her needs. So she would come to my soccer games. I would go to her Special Olympics events. And it was just, you know, we did a lot more as we got older with Special Olympics, but that was also an interest of mine. That was something I wanted to do. But as we were younger, my parents made sure that we both were supporting our interests. And I think what Laura said kind of spoke with me as well. We never like talked about Down syndrome. It was just, I knew about it. And I don't know if it's because it's more a common diagnosis or we had a lot of people we knew that have Down syndrome, but it was never really talked about. And I guess sometimes I struggled when I was younger, how to explain that to people. And that is something that we do within Births of Three, is building the capacity of parents and siblings of, you know, how can you explain your child's diagnosis to other people? So I think that was a piece that I maybe could have used more support on when I was younger. Certainly when I was in high school, it was different. But as a young child, I think that could have been something I could have used more direction with.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. Melissa, do you want to add anything to that?
What do you think?
Let me think.
Are you happy growing up? Mom and Dad did, mm-hmm. right? They were really great parents. Mm-hmm. They helped you do a lot of things that you like to do, mm-hmm. right?
All right. Thank you so much. I just have two more questions. Believe it or not, just two more questions. The next one's a big one, though. When you guys look into the crystal ball, into the future, and you think about the future, your future and your siblings' future, what comes to mind? Go ahead, Erin.
I think that in, you know, a couple years, I would probably move out of my mom's house, probably get a house or just to rent something, and maybe get married and have kids, hopefully. So, yeah, I think that's what my dreams are, or maybe learn how to drive a car.
Thank you, Erin.
You're welcome.
Kelly, do you have anything to add when you think about not only your future, but Erin's future too?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see Erin on her own, as she was saying, with her living somewhere, either with a roommate or independently, and being able to walk places and live her life and leave her home when she wants to and come back when she wants to. That's what I'd like to see for Erin, and probably the same for me as well. So that way it's more of an option for when we come together to hang out as sisters, as opposed to, you know, she feels like she has to because I have to bring her somewhere or something like that.
Right, because you're like breaking her out, right? Getting her out in the car mobile. Yeah, stealing her away for some kind of adventure. Laura and Jack, what about for you for the future? What do you see?
I look forward to seeing what opportunities will become available for Jack in the future. He's going to be looking at some employment options, and I'm excited to see where that goes. Next year, I am getting married, and Jack is one of the groomsmen, so I am excited to see that. He was very excited that my fiance asked him to be part of that.
Congratulations to you both.
So, that's what I see for him. I think he'll become more independent, too, as time goes on.
What about you, Jack? When you look into the crystal ball and look into the future, what do you see?
I think Laura pretty much touched upon all of them, I think.
Yeah. When you think about employment, do you have a dream job in mind?
Back in high school, I did, but now with everything happening, I think it's probably going to be a harder kind of find one.
Yeah. What was your dream in high school? You never know who's listening to this podcast, Jack. Someone from Massachusetts could be hiring.
My original hope was to work with kids. So
you worked at the Y, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He worked at the YMCA with the high school.
That's great. All right. Well, so some kind of working with kids, early childhood, maybe working at the Y or like a parks and rec department. Okay. All right, listeners, we're just putting it out there. Thank you so much. And last but not least, Allison and Melissa.
Melissa is just telling me that she doesn't have her license yet, but she wants to get it. Not just for a car, a boat, maybe, driving a boat.
I drive a golf cart.
She could drive a golf cart.
Nice.
So I think that's something she wants to do, certainly. If I think of our future as a family, it's kind of been established that Melissa will live with us one day. And I kind of look, I mean, she's very close with my daughters at this point and my husband, who I also met at Special Olympics. So we just know this is our life plan. But you know, I just think of those relationships as we all get older and the relationships I had with people growing up. And I just often think of their relationship as, you know, where she lives may change.
Well, thank you all for sharing that. So that's a really hard question sometimes because the world, as we've said, keeps changing. And so we can have our hopes and dreams for the future and then the universe could have other plans for us, so we might just have to change to a plan B or, you know, think of the next thing. So great. So we're on to our last question, believe it or not. And we probably have folks who are listening who are parents of someone with a disability, or maybe they work in the field and they support people with disabilities in their work. And so I would love to ask all of you, what is one thing that parents and professionals who wish to support siblings can do, siblings with and without disabilities? What is one thing that you think they should know? So for parents and professionals who want to support siblings with and without disabilities, what should they keep in mind? Erin, it looks like you have something to share.
Yeah, I waved. well, I think that they need to learn how to just be calm and be patient, because a lot of people don't know, like, our brains don't work that well. As you guys have a good brain, but mine doesn't really work well. And I just want people to know to be patient and just wait. Don't like tell them to go do this or that and tell them so many times, we know, just let it be and just wait.
Right. Thank you so much, Erin. And I have to say that I think all of us have days, if not longer, stretches where our brains don't work so well. So yeah. It's all relative, right? And so, and I think we could all use a little more patience and understanding in the world, as I said. So thank you for sharing that. Kelly, words of it, your sister's a hard act to follow, but words of advice?
I know. I think for me, I almost would have two things different for parents and professionals, but I think in general, it's to be honest, to give the feedback or the message that needs to be given, and don't try to change it up based on the audience, because my role as Erin's sister is to interpret for her. We will work through it. Even if it takes weeks to understand, for example, what a doctor said, that's my job. I will do that for my sister. And so to speak to her in the way you would speak to anyone, that's really, I think, an important piece for me.
So honesty, being direct, and not changing the message, very yes. important. And, you know, I would add to that, just as also having been the sibling as part of those conversations where you're like, what did the doctor just say? Also, I would encourage all of us to ask questions in those situations, like to not feel afraid to ask questions. Thank you so much. How about Allison and Melissa? Word of advice?
I think, again, from a professional standpoint, being an early intervention, but also just being a sibling, that there's options, there's resources, and there's people that you can connect with. It can be very scary, it can be very isolating, but there's people out there who are going through the same thing, and there's people out there that can help connect you to them. So I think that is something really important to keep in mind.
Yeah, thank you. And all of you have talked about one of the best things is finding this community of people who can relate to what you're going through and who are there to support you. So that's great. Laura and Jack. Melissa, do you want to add anything to that? Any last words of advice from Melissa?
Any words of advice?
Let me think. I love my family.
Bring it all back.
She loves Finley.
Yeah, my Finley.
I think the message there is just love, right?
Love, yeah. And man, Finley is one lucky pup. I will say that. Thank you, Melissa. And Laura and Jack.
Yeah, so word of advice I would say would just be getting to know the individual, understanding their diagnosis. I mean, Jack sometimes needs a little bit more time to process things and ask questions. Sometimes it might take a day, sometimes it might take a week for him to truly understand something. So just giving him that time to understand it.
Yeah, I think I can totally agree with Laura. I would personally say, whoever's working with the individual, all parties involved have to have an understanding. If all parties have an understanding of it, then the individual will go farther in life.
Yeah, and sometimes that's about working together to really come to an understanding, right? Because sometimes it takes us a while to really understand what's going on, and we can do that as a team. It's much more helpful. And Laura, what about for you? And for Kelly and Allison, just super quickly, any specific supports that you as siblings could have benefited from? Or when you think about siblings from your end, how can parents and professionals help the typically developing sibling?
I think for me, it would have been nice to know a couple other people in the same situation. There was really only one other family that I knew. That individual was a couple years younger than me, so it wasn't really the same, but it was nice. As we got older, I kind of got to talk to him, and we talked about our brothers and all of the ups and downs of it, but it took a while for us to get there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a big part of our work at the Sibling Support Project, to make sure that siblings have an opportunity to connect with each other, even young siblings, even school-age siblings, but also teens and adults. So absolutely. Kelly or Allison, anything you would like to add to that?
I would agree with what Laura shared. The siblings I was close with through Special Mix were significantly older. So while I had them, they were like siblings to me. But when I went like into school, I didn't have anyone really in the same situation as me. So I think same age peers would have been helpful.
I've noticed as an adult, the friends who I have tend to have similar situations. And I think the beauty of that is just being able to hang out with our siblings and spend time all together as a friend group. So I can see what you're saying about that's a little different compared to when I was younger in school. And I think maybe something else that would help was to kind of, and I don't think our family understood this when we were growing up, but that we could be advocates and that we could use what we've learned to kind of apply to all civil rights and play a stronger role in that. That's something I've discovered and something I'd like to see our family doing in the future, maybe more together as well.
Absolutely. Many of us are natural born advocates, and I think can really be a benefit to parents and professionals because we're all working towards the same goal, right, of supporting that person we love who has a disability, our sibling. And so it's really great when siblings can be part of working with that team of parents and professionals to do that, to support the person with. Well, thank you all so much. I can't believe that our time together has come to an end. I have so enjoyed getting to know you, and I've definitely learned a lot from you. Hopefully this has been a great experience for all of you. And I just really can't thank you enough for taking the time to share your stories and experiences with all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
And thank you to Sarah Inc. for making this space available and for creating a space for all of us to come together and share our stories, and to all of you listeners who have been here to hear them. So thank you.
That was amazing. I loved hearing all of the stories and the amazing interactions. I loved how Melissa kept referring to her dog, Finley, and how she loves Cape Cod. Just great stories, and very thankful that they took the time to share with us.
Absolutely, Tisha. I couldn't agree more. I think it was, you know, really awesome to have such vibrant participants who really gave us their genuine stories, their experiences. You know, I loved hearing Erin talk about how much she wanted to drive, and if she could swap places with her sister, that would be the first thing she could do, which I certainly get. You know, you want to be able to get out there, and it was just a really heartwarming thing to hear.
Absolutely.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the Saturday Inc. website. On any Amazon or Alexa-enabled devices, you can ask Alexa to play 99% Effective, Sarah Solutions Podcast. And let us know, what do you want to learn more about? If you have an idea or topic, let us know. We would love to hear from you. If you are a sibling of someone with a disability, or you have a disability yourself and want to give us some of your input and your feedback, absolutely, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone.